Right, you're leading this time, like every dance we've ever done together.
No, you lead. You can't do that.
Why not?
Because it would reflect really badly on me.
look at you on the spot. No, seriously, you should, because you had some great ideas for this week's podcast episode. Installment, as I used to call them. Now I know they're not called installments. I know. Whenever Katie flagged me, it's not a fucking installment. It's an episode. It's episode. Let me just go onto the website. www. Yeah, digital dinosaur hard at work.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know what we call these things. Episodes, right? Okay, so you had some great ideas for this episode this week. What are we talking about this week?
Well, thank you, first of all, for sending us in loads of questions. And
yes, thank you.
Because really, that's most appreciated, because it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Mm. Knowing that, A, there's people actually listening to this.
It's kind of a relief.
It's a relief. I'm not going to lie. But also that they really like what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we have their buy-in.
Yes.
So something that's really hard to get. That's like the most impossible currency, because...
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Yes.
Like getting people's buy-in and getting them to engage and submit questions, which leads me to this. So.
And before we continue, can I just say the feedback that I've been given personally, or I've heard through you, or we've read, thank you so much to those who've... Because this is our very brand new baby, okay? And this is the first podcast I've ever done. And so... The fact that it resonates with the people who are listening and watching, and the things you've said, the really kind things you've said, it means the world to me. It really did. It really put a smile on my face because there is a certain vulnerability to it, because I believe what we talk about really matters, and there's so much more to come in terms of topics that I really hope make people sit up and go, wow, brilliant. Yeah, we need to be talking about this. So thank you. With the feedback we're getting, we'll keep going as we are. So anyway.
Yes. So I've had a lovely lady called Christine, who I rate really highly. She's a lovely, lovely person. And she said, I normally don't do podcasts at all, full stop, but I love yours. And you're coming Nordic walking with me.
I like that.
So it's like, you know, my work is done. We've converted somebody.
It's brilliant.
No, but honestly, so this episode today is dedicated on the art, or to the art, of selling yourself, so self-marketing.
Mm.
How you manage to get people's buy-in, mm-hmm. which is a massive one, and how you present yourself, how you show up in the digital sphere, but also in the real world, where it really matters. Mm-hmm. If we have any practical steps, I suppose that have helped us along the way. And so I'd want you to just maybe give me a few pointers on what you've learned over the years and what hasn't worked maybe as well.
Mm-hmm. In terms of selling yourself and getting your story out there and creating your personal brand in whatever context that is, whether it's a new job application or starting a podcast, for example, that sort of avenue.
Yep.
I've got something I'd like to share with you that's actually just happened. In fact, it's in the process of happening. I'm not going to mention any names, but long story short, as part of House of Words and what we are offering as branding experts, be it for in a company setting, in a company environment, when a company is trying to get its story out there, or a personal branding setting, say somebody is trying to establish their presence in the digital world, or they're applying for a job and they've got to get their story out there. Something crazy happened to me yesterday. And like I said, it's still ongoing, where somebody tapped me up and was very, very complimentary, very flattering and very nice to talk to, impressive set of accolades that they brought with them. They came to me and said, wow, I really loved what you talked about in your post recently on LinkedIn about getting your CV for an international job application environment, getting it just right and what you should and shouldn't do. And would you mind taking a look at mine? And then maybe we can discuss further steps. I was like, yeah, sure, send it over. So this person sent it over, and it was a standard CV. It was riddled with... I'm going to be honest, it's riddled with mistakes that would mean it would just get chucked in the bin. It's not going to get looked at for reasons I won't go into now. But I started reading it, and it was just a one-pager, but it was the first four subheadings and the content in there was so generic that I thought, that it looks like AI. And so I copied the text from these four subsegments without any personal details, of course, ran it through an AI detector or two AI detectors, and it instantly flagged 99% certain this is
surprise
100% match that this is AI generated content. So, and I just head in hand, I was like, what's this person doing? They're clearly successful. They have an amazing followership. Okay. And like I said, when you speak to them, personable and easy to engage with. So why the hell would you go and use ChatGPT or whatever it is you're using to create this content? And so that's what's pending at the moment. And I don't know if this person is listening to this podcast. Probably not. So I'm just going to run the risk and share this information. If they are, they'll know who they'll know who I'm talking about. But I would say rule number one, don't use AI to get your personal story out there. It is an incredibly tempting proposition when you can go, well, I can get this piece of text in perfect English out there about me. But to even to a trained eye, you will see it straight away.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're linguists. I'm still a translator, and I've been translating a long time. You'll see it and you go, that's AI. Don't use AI, a generic tool, to tell a very personal story.
100%.
That's the number one off the top of my head. I'm only sharing this because this has literally just happened to me. What about you? What would you say?
I'd say number two is think about the long game rather than counting your followers, all those vanity metrics, right?
Yes.
Of course, it's nice to hit a milestone. Like, I'm not going to lie, when I hit 5,000 followers on LinkedIn, it was awesome. And now what? What's next? That sort of thing. So it's great to have milestones, but don't get too obsessed, because obviously the danger is that you only ever look at those metrics, like how many likes, how many, I don't know, clicks, views, the engagement rate, and all those wonderful KPIs that serve one purpose. Mm-hmm. But don't get too obsessed, because you're missing the point.
Yes.
The point would always, for me, be in the long game. So getting your story out, first of all, getting your story right for you. So getting it straight for you. Yeah. So you know 100% who you are, what you represent, what your values are, you know, what your narrative needs to be, to then put it out there.
Exactly. And in terms of, to build on that, in terms of shaping the narrative and creating a story, I'm not talking War and Peace. Your story can be beautifully packaged into one sentence. And I'll give you an example. So I know of a situation many, many years ago in a recruitment company here in the UK where they received a CV. This is no joke. This is going back a long time. But they received a CV and just a brief introductory cover letter to go with it, because this particular candidate, a mid-level executive manager, was looking for a new role. And so he submitted his details, and it started, name so-and-so, marital status, married, two kids, massive mortgage. And the person in question, who was responsible for getting the CV out there and getting this guy in for interviews, he laughed his head off. He thought it was brilliant. It told such a great story in such a succinct way. Because if you're a recruiter and you've got somebody who comes and says, hey, man, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I'm going to bust my ass every single day. I will be there on time. I won't be sick. I'm not going to take the piss. I'm going to work really, really hard for you. What a story right there.
Yeah.
Married, two kids. Two kids. Massive mortgage.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to pay your mortgage. Who doesn't pay their mortgage? Of course you're going to pay your mortgage. You're going to work. You're going to work yourself to the bone. So that is a great example of getting a story out there in two words. And it is possible. So that's what I'd invite people to think about. Take something that is deeply personal to you, not necessarily personal, deeply important to you, keeping a roof over your family's head.
And descriptive.
Yes.
In terms of your character.
Yes, exactly.
Like your essence.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but I don't know what the day-to-day life of an internal recruiter is at a mid-market company, an SME in Germany, for example, or even a larger corporation. But I can only imagine that 95% of it goes something like this. You get a CV coming and you just go, nah. Or even it's pre-filtered using software.
Of course.
And so if you can just capture someone's attention with something as granular as that, you've already got half a foot in the door.
Yeah, make them smile.
Yeah,
make them sit up straight in their chairs. Yes. Like, oh, that's unusual. That's new.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's off the top of my head. Those are the two things I've got to offer, my two cents, so to speak.
On that tangent, I know of somebody who once sent a single shoe to a recruiter.
A single shoe?
Just with a letter, like, now I've got a now I've got a shoe in the door. Please make it come in.
Brilliant. Did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
Brilliant.
It was just so, like, what?
Genius.
Like, I think it was a beautiful, like, red stiletto, like, now I'm in your door. Now I've got a foot in your door.
Magnificent.
Please may the rest follow.
That's brilliant.
But yeah, so that's what we do. So yes. You're right. It's not war and peace. It's not when we say storytelling, people always go, who has time for story? Exactly. Like, once upon a time, hope you're sitting comfortable. It's not about that. Mm. It's about once you are completely certain in terms of who you are, what you want to put out there in the world, what you want people to see and think of when they hear your name, then it becomes so easy to distill that in 2, 3, 4 words, like in one little sentence. When people go, so what do you do? Well, have you ever wondered how we get, I don't know, the windows in the top floor clean? Well, that's what I do. Or, like, take people with you on a short little journey.
Yes. Yeah, brilliant.
And make it and give them context that's so tangible that they go, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be long-winded. In fact, it shouldn't be long-winded.
No.
It should be as concise as possible, but packed with so much energy that it really represents like a nerve ending. Let's say if you touch it, it's like, oh, that's how essential it has to be to you.
Yes.
Know?
So,
and it's possible to do it.
So we've covered two more things. How to sell yourself. Humour. I'm such a big fan of humour. And I know you are too. And I know it's because we're so British in a sense that, like, we live and breathe this culture. So people massively understate. You know, they want to make each other feel great.
Absolutely, like, absolutely. And they employ, you know, in many cases, myself included, you know, you'll be faced with a situation and you'll say something that's so cutting but in a deadpan kind of way that it creates a lasting memory.
Right.
And I would say, again, I don't want to group 80 million people all together in one country, but, you know, Germans, use a bit of humour. Lighten up.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to do this because go on, I know you want to say.
Let's park this one because there's so much I'm going to say. Yes. But the other point we touched on was give people context.
Yes.
Context they can understand. So context. They arrive at this aha light bulb moment instantly.
Yes.
So give them the chance that they understand what you do.
Yeah.
Right there and right now. Like, not... Yeah, don't make it too complicated for them. In fact, break it down so a 10-year-old can understand. So you sell by using humor, by making people smile, but by also by giving so much context that it's crystal clear to them what you can do for them.
Yes.
So always what's in it for them.
Yes.
And make that really clear. And that also goes for, like, your story, of course.
Yeah.
Put yourself in your reader's shoes, but for your slogan, for your website, always address the one reader. And then circling back now to the importance of humour when selling.
Yeah.
I mean, you always say about your father, he could charm the birds off any tree.
And he's charmed several birds off the trees. That much is certain.
That's one thing I really love about this culture and what's so fundamentally different, which leads us to a wonderful new episode, I'm sure, about the subtle differences between our nations. But the art form of not taking yourself too seriously and to really just, take it down a notch or two, like, dial it back a little bit, this whole chest banging sort of alpha male. Don't, you know, we've known some awesome people with a staff of tens of thousands of people.
Sure.
That was really poetic. We've known great CEOs, great leaders, great visionaries with massive responsibilities, and they're just Andrew or Matthew, or, you know, even though they might have a PhD in something, they're just
Yes.
Normal people like you and I. Yeah. And they always dial it back and they always understate. And I really love that. And I celebrate that about British culture. And I try and infuse it whenever I write a text.
Yes.
For myself, for my clients. And I encourage them greatly to just... make it lighthearted.
Yes,
because life's so serious, it tends to be so serious and can be really serious.
Yes.
Humor when selling.
Beautiful.
Massively important. Context, understanding yourself first and foremost.
Yes.
Because if you you have this clarity, then you have the words.
Yes.
So people who don't know what to say, they lack that clarity about themselves. And then when they end up in a sales role or they apply for a job or they're business owners and they have to pitch to strangers, they're a bit shy and a bit introverted and they don't know what to say and what will other people think.
Yeah.
But that's why I always say, like, start with your own narrative and shaping it and deciding for yourself which bits you'd like to put in the digital shop window.
Brilliant.
For other people to see and remember.
That's really well put. I love that. That's a lot of content right there, I would say. Good stuff people can work with. I'm conscious of the fact that I was banging on too much last week and we've got to keep it succinct this week, haven't we?
No, I hope that answered your question.
Yes.
And thank you so much for asking us that. And
that was Christine, right? Wasn't it? The question.
No, this was somebody else. This was Jenny. But keep them coming.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I should have been paying attention to that, but I swear.
It's fine. It's fine. We've had so many messages, but the really good one. And we're going to continue by answering another question.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
All right. Man, I love doing this. This is really good fun.
Thank you.
It's starting to feel all natural.
All natural.
It is, isn't it?
See you next week.
See you next week. Okay, moi.